Dear God, we thank You in the wondrous name of Your Son, Jesus. Again, the wondrous excitement to know that You love us so. Now, Lord, let us just dwell in that love this morning. Open up Your truth to us. May You just be that sweet salve that each and every one of us need this morning. There are things in each one of our hearts. There are needs and issues, God, that we need to have dealt with this morning, today. Lord, we know that You're ready to come in. We ask that Your Holy Spirit just anoint each and every life, anoint Your Word. May we magnify the wondrous name of Jesus, and it's in that name we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles today. We're going to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. That's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. I believe familiar text to many. Praise God for that. And if you're not familiar with it, praise God that you're listening to it today. All right. And in that 15th verse, it says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." What a wondrous portion of Scripture. Now, in this, the Lord has brought again the thought of so much potential in our lives, brothers and sisters. So much potential. But again, are we allowing these little foxes in? And I think of these little foxes today, as the Lord has brought this thought, as open wounds. And I want to speak today of the tender open wounds that many of us carry around so unnecessarily in our lives over and over again. And what we're speaking of here today, brothers and sisters, are the unsettled feelings. Maybe the buried issues. The unresolved conflicts. Think of these things, because today, by the grace of God, I'm hoping that the Lord deals with each and every one of us to take care of these little foxes, because these are the foxes that spoil the vine. And yet, it's so precious, too, that the Word of God, so many times over, it instructs us, it gives us the grace, again, how these little foxes, these wounds, are healed from our lives, whether it's the 70 times 7, that's how we're to forgive one another. How about if I have an issue with a brother or a sister in the Lord? How's that as well, too? You go to them in love. You try to resolve that issue. But by the grace of God, if that doesn't work, it's not time to pull out the hammer and say, "Lord, I told you so." No. It's time to forgetting those things which are behind. How about that, huh? Praise God. Oh, yes, praise God. Forgetting those things which are behind. Allow the forgiveness, as Christ forgives, to reign in our heart. And then, oh my, could you imagine, the love without hypocrisy to come in and love through that situation. See, we're always trying to find loves in our nature, our reasons in our nature, why not to love somebody. See, that's just what the enemy wants to tell you. Why you shouldn't. And why we shouldn't most of the time is it's because of their actions. Well, if that was the case with Jesus Christ, where would we be today? I hope we can always go back and live with Him. That wondrous moment where He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's the love He's offered us. That's the love, by His grace, that He wants to have come in and dwell in our lives. And again, it's at that wondrous cross, brothers and sisters, that as we've heard so many times from this pulpit, and I pray that we would hear them if Jesus tarry again and again, by His stripes, we are healed. Don't limit that to a healing in your body. Don't limit it to that. See, this is the God of unlimited. This is a healing in mind, healing in emotion, a healing in my household. It's a healing in my job. It's a healing in everything. And it's by His stripes. I've just been so thankful. I think He's drawn me that much closer to the cross these last couple weeks. Many folk don't want to go there. It is a way of suffering. You're going to enter into it with Him. But I'm telling you, the very power of His might is found in the cross. But I'm going to tell you this as well, too. Many of these disputes, and again, the Lord dealing with me this week, are over the smallest and silliest of matters, if we really think about it. We had a sermon not too long ago about, is it really a dispute over the truth? Which, that does matter, meaning the Word of God. Or is it a dispute over something maybe we just disagree about in personality? But we're talking about the smallest and the silliest of matters. Once you've left the Word of God, really, what does matter? It's all going to be gone anyway, so we're just talking about something temporal. We just get excited about something if we think it's going to be here for 100 years or 1,000 years or 10,000 years. Let me tell you something. You don't even know how long it's going to be here. All I know that is heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to remain forever. So all of these things that people get excited about that I see with these eyes that are temporal, oh no, it's the soul is what God is interested in. It's the soul is what this age is about. Praise be to God. But again, these small and silly matters, these small foxes, these little roots of bitterness, they are the things that grow up into the great walls. The great walls that separate us from not only the people of God, but separates us from God's very best. I hope you're listening today. This is something vital for our lives. If we really are going to be a people that are going to win God's best, we need to pay attention to this particular message. And I will go on the record as saying, you cannot be an island out there today and win God's best. It does not work that way, brothers and sisters. Islands will not win God's best. When you truly separate yourself to God, when you separate yourself to God, you are going to find others there as well that have separated themselves to God. On the other hand, if you find that your separation today, that you are calling a so-called godly separation, but yet it's an isolation from the people of God, you better wake up. You better wake up and face reality. That is not being separated to God. Not at this time, not at this age, and specifically not in this meeting that Jesus Christ, by His grace, has given us. I'm not trying to be at all touchy-feely, God forbid. But we need one another. And I need ones that disturb me. And you need ones that disturb you. Oh, yes, you do. God didn't send you down a lotus land of ease, brothers and sisters. Now, God forbid I start stirring it up to try to disturb you. But if the Lord allowed that to happen in your life, can you say it is well? Or do I go say, well, I'm just going to go start looking for another church? Over and over throughout the Word of God, He told us that there's going to be divisions among us. That's what heresies means. People are going to divide themselves because, unfortunately, that's what the enemy does. If you're finding that, you're finding that you're going to find an isolation from really the things of God and what He's trying to do in your life. But how about being a sweet salve, brothers and sisters, and praying for that situation? And really entering in with love and saying, Lord, you know what? I know this is Your will. They might not like me because of the way I dress. They may not like me because maybe I've had 2 or 3 marriages in my life. Oh, where's he going? They might not like me because of, God forbid, the color of my skin. They might not like me because my dad, my grandpa, all of these different things. The much the more love I need to have in my life. It's never going to be worked out of a life unless there's ones in, I'm telling you, trenches praying. We need to pray for one another. Do you realize that Christ Jesus is praying for you right now? He's seeking that wonderful Father right now, the very advocate for our lives, and saying, Lord, enable these people right now. Father, I know that everything comes from You. That's the Christ that loves your soul. God's doing a cutting today. Let's be willing to be cut into the beautiful jewel that He sees. What I've seen, though, brothers and sisters, it's such a common human trait, but it's so deadly to a Christian walk. And I believe it's our lack, and I want you to listen again, it's our lack of admitting fault when we are wrong. It's our lack of admitting when we made the mistake. It's a lack of accepting responsibility. It's a lack of two simple words in our life. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And yet, many a sweet Christian that I know the Word of God, that possess much love of God, yet they seem to lack the crowning, complete victory of God. And it's all because we are not willing to submit. We're not willing to completely surrender our pride to God. It's that simple. We have to be able, by the grace of God, to come boldly, but to come honestly and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself. See, you understand the other attitude. Some of the comments that are said, well, I'll show them. Well, I'm not going to listen to him. Why would I listen to him? I know a lot more about the Word of God than he does. And I'm even going to prove me right in the Word of God, and I'm going to show you. And all I can say is, listen to yourself. Listen. Listen to the defense that you're creating. The defiance that's coming out of you. The coldness. And maybe even downright hatred. Maybe even towards the things that are being said right now. Ask Christ Jesus to come in. Come in. Come in, Lord. Come in and sup with me. Let me know that forgiveness that was upon that cross that I need. That I need to win your best. Because I ask you this. Are those feelings of animosity? Is that when we get down and we're just going to grit our teeth and go through it and know that my pride is right? I ask you this. Is that the will of God in your life? I don't care if you were right. I don't care if you were wronged. The thing I care about is, again, are we ready to see Jesus? He's about to appear. And those that are looking for Him, those that have laid aside every weight, are going to be ready to take off. You know, a lot of you know that I fly airplanes. And we often kind of laugh at some of these. Brother Tile kind of think that I'm just trying to defend the propeller airplanes because I have a passion for those. But those jet airplanes sometimes, they're all so fast and all so great and everything. But sometimes when I'm out over at the airport, I'm getting in the plane and there I am in my little plane. It's got my prop, but I don't have to worry about how hot it is or how much I have or anything. It's just ready to go. But there's those fast, big jets a lot of times. And if it's too hot outside, they can't carry that much weight. So they have to keep weighting it down and they keep taking different suitcases maybe out of the plane. Then after a while, you start seeing the pilots get frustrated. And then the owner really gets frustrated because he says, you know what? We're not taking off until it gets to be about, 7, 8 o'clock tonight because it's too hot. You want to fly, you're going to have to lay aside the weight. And that's the truth. And I praise God, again, all of the things that He's showing us and that we need to, again, uncumber by the grace of God our life and laying it at the very throne of God. But I want you to know this sentiment of holding on to things. It's not a respecter of person. It dwells in men and women and children. Let me tell you, sin is sin. And the enemy's out there. And he knows he can't take salvation from a child of God. Oh, no. But I will tell you this, he's doing his level best to try to take that crown from you. When he said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let me tell you something. God's got something awfully special for you. And it's worth the fight. And don't grow weary, brothers and sisters. It's about time. It's so about time. It's so wonderful to think that Jesus is coming for me. And I'm so thankful again that God is encouraging me in that great love to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. But again, brothers and sisters, we do need to be about rooting up every bit of bitterness in our life. Because those weeds, you allow those weeds of bitterness to grow up, they're going to overtake the garden. And they really will. God wants us to move on. But until we lay aside every weight of indifference. What are those weights of indifference? How about pride? How about self? How about that principled, stubborn old man? See, until we lay aside every one of those weights of indifference, you're just going to be stuck in the last glory. Well, you've been rejoicing for some time in that last glory. It was so good. But the last glory isn't God's plan. God's plan is from glory to glory, to glory, to glory. See, that's when it never grows old. That's when the Word of God is alive and it's living. It's not predicated upon just coming in and, well, we're just going to jam the truth down you. Or it's not predicated about coming into a place. As I was talking to a sweet brother yesterday, everybody hold up your hands and we're going to go sing here for an hour. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. But let me tell you something. I want the sincerity of Jesus Christ in this place. If it's not real, it's not getting done what it needs to get done in my life. It's the sincerity that Jesus Christ is after. God said He's looking for those that are worshiping in spirit and in truth today. There's such a balance in that wondrous spirit and truth. The very love of God, the very Holy Spirit, taking that love and shedding it abroad in my heart. And the very truth that I rejoice in, that I grow up and say, Lord, I understand Your plan. And in understanding that plan, I've got the application of love that it brings it all in the perfect mix. That you know what it comes out? And it's real. It's nothing else but real. That you're not here at church for any other reason except to say, thank you, God. I don't come here to just make a showing because brother or sister so-and-so is going to call me on the phone and said, where were you? And I pray if you did get on the phone and said, where were you? It was in love that we missed you. We appreciate you coming. But let me tell you something. I understand battles. And I understand the compassion of God. But I do know that the healing times in my life, brothers and sisters, the greatest times of all, have been when I've walked through these doors. Times truly when I've despaired of my own life. Didn't know if I was going to have a business that next day. Didn't know really where I was going to turn. Feeling like I was going to lose my mind. And the very simple words of a praying saint that at that moment that God was using would say, well, son, as far as I know, God's still on the throne. Do you realize how God loves you? And He's there all the time. And He calls to you all the time. And there's no reason to delay. There's no reason to put this separation in your life. I don't care what you like. I really don't. I don't mean to be rude. It's about Jesus Christ. And He's got something that if you'll allow in your life, you're going to like everybody. Oh, yes, you will. You'll say, oh, well, I don't know. You will. You will. Let me tell you something. Jesus has got to like you because He hangs around you 24/7. Come on now. He does. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, I like to be liked too. Sometimes when people just tell me they love me, well, do you kind of like me too? You know what I'm talking about. It works both ways. Praise God. But see, I'm confident He's working here today because I see lives before Him. I can see my own life before Jesus Christ today. And I believe that there is a sincere desire, brothers and sisters, or we wouldn't be here, to break out, to move on, to move up. But unless we are willing to break before God. There's a difference. There is a difference. I don't want to play church anymore. I don't want to just go so far anymore. Lord, I want to go all the way. Again, He heard you. When you said, I will go, He heard you. And He just doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't. I think about those girls that call my sons. They just don't leave them alone. Until their mama gets on the phone. She asks for their name and then she hears the hang up. But He doesn't leave you alone, brothers and sisters. But we do need to break before God. And really it comes to be a complete humbling of ourselves before Him. Really. Lord, I know it's You. We talk about that workmanship that He's doing in us. We understand that the Word of God tells us that He is the potter. How many times over and over does He have to get in front of us and say, look, it is about Me. It is about My work. It is about My love. Just be an open field. Be ready to receive. I love that thought. Plow deep. Plow deep. Well, it hadn't rained. Don't matter. Keep plowing deep. He's got something He's really going to bring in there. My oh my, you might even strike oil on that ground. What do you think, huh? Oh, He's going to bring the rain. He really will. He does every time. And He brings you those streams that, like I said, I was just thinking of Him. I said, Lord, I've been talking about streams in the desert. You brought me in a dry time. I felt awfully parched. Lord, don't feel nothing. Lord, You brought me to a time that truly I'm not being encouraged by this or this. You brought me to a time where, son, it's encourage yourself in Me. I don't know what else I can tell you to do, but you have to listen to My words of life. When I told you I loved you, that has to be enough. When I told you that I care for you, it's got to be enough. When I told you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it's got to be enough. When I told you that you're the very apple of My eye, it's got to be enough. When I told you that I've made a mansion for you, I've got streets of gold for you. But most importantly, when I said, you're My desire. It has to be enough. Where's our faith? It's in the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's tugging at us in a great way right now, brothers and sisters, because I know the trial is great. We have entered into a time pressed out of measure. Praise God. Oh, I appreciate Brother Andre Crouch. I was singing that song the other day, when you're up against a struggle. Shattered all your dreams. Satan seems to have blown it all apart. Best time to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thy will be done. My time is a-coming. And by the grace of God, if I can just get in that vein of wealth, it's going to be well with my soul. Oh my. What God can do. But see, until that humbling comes, brothers and sisters, and it has to come now. It has to come in this chapter of your life. Because if the humbling doesn't come in this chapter of life, God then just is patiently waiting to write the next chapter of faith in your life. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We know that. But how much faith is He going to write in you? We know this. God tells us that. We know that it's impossible to please God without faith. And He's being so gracious to us. But how much longer do you think we're going to sit away from the very perfect will of God? Kind of goes back again trying to take God on our own terms. It don't work that way. Never will. You're only going to find that narrow way in Him. And a lot of people think of that narrow way as, well, God's favor toward me is going to be predicated upon how good I am or how bad I am. I've got favor with God all the time. Brother Lot had favor with God all the time. He did. Just Lot. Listen to those words. A brother who wasted all of his life. He wasted it. But God wanted him to know. Most importantly, God wanted all of us to know that it's about my love. And he's still just. Now see, with that, I want to serve the Lord. How about you? With that, it is my reasonable service to say, Lord, I want to get real about this race. I don't need to... I got to quit thinking about how I'm going to be good today to please you. Lord God, I want to just show up in sincerity in your word and you're pouring in the faith. It's the very grace of God. And I'm so grateful for that. See, again, that's the God. That's the God that in, I'm telling you, the spiritual discernment, that's the only God that makes sense to me. Why would I want to decide anything about my future? About the way that I think it should be? Because I'm just a man. Think about this. You've got a God. Do you realize that? You have a God that's concerned about you. I remember speaking to this one professor one time. He said, we went and wrote this music. It was this cantata, and I wrote all these different songs. Brother Bob helped me so sweetly with some of that music. He wrote all these wonderful words that I know Christ Himself had brought through the Word of God to me. He looked at it, and all he could say is, I don't find God that personal. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, what God do you find? I don't know of another God. He said, well, He's so universal and He's so out there. And, you know, how could we ever find out really who He is and all? I said, well, Brother Moses told me that I know the very ways of God. I speak to Him face to face as a friend. Do you speak face to face to Him as a friend today? I hope you do. I get up in the morning. I said, how you doing, Jesus? I know you're fine, thank you. I'm fine too. Makes me good all over, doesn't it? That's how personal He is. That's the delivering power that's there for you. This is the great God who, again, yes, is omnipotent. Yes, they found 40 trillion light years of vacant space where they didn't think, they thought were stars and weren't stars, and I love to hear the, isn't that amazing? Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing? It's just too good. I wish I had, the only thing I just wish I could even more eloquently state it, but brothers and sisters, He's so about us today. He's just so here and He's so dealing with each and every one of us. And I can speak for you because it's the Word of God. And He is encouraging us to grow now. Not some other more convenient time. He wants you to grow now, today. That garden can be weeded today. God forbid we leave this place without, by His grace, saying, Lord, it is right with You. Because I just gave it to You today. It wasn't anything I did. I just said, Lord, it's Yours. I don't want that stinky thing no more. It's offending people. I had a sweet little boy the other day. He's on our football team, and I coach. He was so cute. A little bit afflicted, and I so appreciate the coach that heads this thing up. You know, a lot of these coaches today are about trying to find the very best of the best and stacking the teams, as they call them. Well, this little team's 3-0. Thank God for it. It's wonderful. I hope I could thank God if we were 0-3 too. What do you think about that? In all things? In all things. But here's this little boy, and you know, again, he says things at the most, the most inappropriate times, but they are just so catching. And so I'm standing next to him, and the coach is kind of real intense, and he's telling the boys something, and he kind of turns to me and he says, "Coach, you smell nice." And I saw that coach, as he was going like this to the boys and everything, he had to turn away like this. And he gave me the business a little bit. But see, Jesus can make you smell nice. He can. I don't want to stink. Don't. I want that pleasing incense going to God. Isn't that wonderful? And then others take note. And they might be a little bit feeble. Huh? Might be a little bit weak. Those are the best kind. Because that's who Christ Jesus is after. Oh yeah. Oh, hallelujah. See, we only grow in grace, brothers and sisters. But it's grace received and it's grace allowed. Maybe a better interpretation in a way of that is it's His work and we need to check self at the door. We're never going to go on. You're just stopping yourself. That's all that's going to happen. Let me tell you something. That door is swung widely open for you. But self will never let you get through that next door. And the next door and the next door that Christ has for you. And I am confident in saying today that, you know, if you're sitting here this morning. And you're unsettled. Because you're not realizing the very fullness of God in your life. If you're sitting here today and it seems that you're always grasping at the next new thing. If you're sitting here today and it seems like you're always trying to find comfort. And I will say this, maybe in the next new book or the next new speaker, the next new church. I really believe it's because you haven't come clean with Christ. You have it. You've got the very words of life. There's no excuse. And you know the funny thing is Jesus already knows. Do you know that? He already knows. The only thing is He's asking you to admit it. It's all He wants to hear, those words. To say, "Lord, I'm sorry." It's a divine moment, brothers and sisters, but He's just waiting there. He waits so patiently. He waits so lovingly. He waits so earnestly. For us to admit it. I could hear Him say to me as I was going through this study, "Child, will you display the godly sorrow?" The godly sorrow. Not, "Oh, I'm sorry." I'm talking about the remorse that needs to be there. There's a difference. And you know it. The difference is the whole root will be out of your life when it's godly sorrow. It won't be there anymore. If you keep addressing it, if it keeps coming back, it's because you haven't got to godly sorrow yet. And that's something that will hinder you from going on with God. We've all had them. They're marvelous times. And you know what? The Lord allows those roots to come in. He does allow that. All He wants us to do is by faith lay hold of Him and allow Him to root them back up. See, that's the full overcomer. And I know these are the final trying times. I'm there with you, brothers and sisters. We're running this race by His grace together. Yes, we run alone, but it's precious to say, "Praise God. Praise God." Uh-oh, praise God. She's out there a little ahead of me. I got to start running. But I get encouraged. I get encouraged in that. The day I look up and I start despising my brother or sister that's running well, woe is me. I'm glad she's on fire. I'm glad he's on fire. Couldn't be anything better. Sometimes, like I was telling you, those little guys, it's amazing what you can learn if you just pay attention to the love of God. It's all around you, really is. Sure, we're in a wicked world, but I know who keeps me. And as they were pushing that little boy along that couldn't run very well at that team, those few guys that went back there and got him, they were running with him, but they wanted to get back to the water can. So then you notice they got behind him and started shoving him down that hill. Do we love each other? You think you could maybe receive a godly shove once in a while? I hope it's just a nudge of encouragement. But you know, sometimes you got brothers and sisters that are awful thirsty too, and they want to get over to that water can. I don't know. I hope he's bringing it to you. It's a sweet thing. But I believe he told me, son, I'm waiting to come in. I believe he's told me all my life, at those times that I was looking away from him, the heights are right behind you. They're just right behind you. I'm here. And all you need to do is turn toward me. See, he's there all the time. He's with me all the time. He's with you all the time. Oh, you don't know what I did yesterday. You don't know where I've been last week. He's with you all the time. He does not leave nor forsake his children. The only thing is you're not turning towards to see him. That's the only difference. May we turn around today. By the grace of God, how about it? Do you think you can say, Lord, I'm sorry? Not, Lord, forgive me. You're already forgiven. I'm just sorry. I admit it's been me. I admit I take the blame. I really do. I'm sorry I'm not taking this from the hand of the Lord. I'm sorry for all the brothers and sisters I may have hurt or discouraged. But you know what? I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to turn it to their glory too. Because I know that there's Romans 8:28 that tells me that I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It didn't say good things work together for them to love God. It said all things. See, that's faith. We better get it. But the greatest thing is when I say, but Lord, most of all, I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I hurt you. And I say, here it is. It's right here. You right there with him today? I pray we are. Really, you have something. There's something we all need to give to the Lord today. But I believe that the Lord has really impressed upon my heart for my life. And I'm telling you today, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day. And it's, Lord, here it is. I am at your cross. I'm finding out that everything's there anyways, praise God. And it's at that moment I know that he can do something with that, brothers and sisters. He can do something with that. I know he's already made the way of escape. Did you know that? It's already been made. Now I'm just going to let it happen. I'm going to let that deliverance come into my life. I'm going to say, Jesus, I do believe you. And it is well with my soul. And brothers and sisters, we need to make that move now because Jesus is coming soon. I want to be ready. How about you? I don't want to miss it for something like that. I don't want to miss it for anything. I don't want anything holding me back. I don't want to have one weight in my hand that when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and I said, oh, I didn't drop that one. And oh, by the way, that twinkling is gone. And that's the truth. He deals in completes. And he said, if you want to run well, if you want to finish, he said, every weight. Listen to him. Every weight. I hope you're understanding this is not speaking today of sinless perfection, brothers and sisters. He already took care of that. I'm justified. You're a Christian today. I don't say I don't know about you. If you're a Christian today, you're justified. I just need to lay it aside and say, Lord, it's yours. I'm excited. By His grace, I intend to finish well. I expect to finish a course with joy. I expect by the grace of God to receive a crown. Because by the grace of God, my expectation is in no other but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You again today. We come to You and say, praise be to God. We appreciate Your words of life. Lord, quicken us this morning. Don't let us hesitate. Don't let us neglect so great salvation. Your love, Your presence, it's near. And praise God, I do believe that Your Son, could it be today? Oh, and it's in that name of Jesus I say thank You, praise You, and all thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.